Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Father God, we present ourselves to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that there's just an open heaven. We thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful sense of your Spirit already. There's such an openness, Father, and I thank you for it. And I thank you that tonight, I pray that every person will encounter your magnificent presence. I pray that they'll hear every word that you're saying, that they'll see, that they'll encounter. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Welcome. So this is going to be really different. I never quite know what the Lord is going to do, but today, as I was praying about tonight, I had the most interesting thing happen. It was really hot here today in Illinois. I don't know where you're watching from, but really toasty here and dry, just hot. And I was sitting outside and praying for tonight's meeting, and a mist hit me, but it was in the Spirit. And it was a gentle, soft mist, but the most interesting thing was my mouth was a little bit open because I was praying. And when the mist came in my mouth, it was sweet. It actually was sweet. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, remember Eden. And this is really interesting to me. A couple weeks ago, he had me preach something called Remember Goshen. And when the Lord tells you to remember something, that's a big deal, okay? Because sometimes when God says to remember something, it's a whole broadcast. It's a whole set of information. And for me, when he says, remember Eden, that's a huge thing. And I'll explain why. Some years ago, back in the 90s, about 1994, one of the biggest encounters I ever had with the Lord, I had come out of a Spirit-filled meeting that was very, very, very powerful. And I could barely get to my car because the presence of the Lord was so strong. I had been laying on the floor. Someone had prayed for me. I was on the floor. I very rarely go down in the Spirit, but I was on the floor and I began to feel like I was being taken up. Now, this is not common for me. I have a lot of encounters in the Spirit, but this was a very unusual type of encounter with God. It seemed as though I was being taken up and up and up and up. And I ended up having a 20-hour experience with the Lord. I could not even drive home. I actually had to get to my car, which is in the parking lot of this big church, and it was about an hour away from home. So I actually decided, well, I can't drive in this condition because I was, I don't know if you've ever been under the power of God, but you simply should not be driving. And so I got crawled into the back seat and I thought, well, I'll just try to rest here till morning and then I'll call into work and I'll take the day off because there's no way that I can work. And so about 3 a.m, I woke up with a policeman shining a flashlight in my window and asking me what I was doing. And I said, I was just too tired to drive home. And he said, okay, well, lock your doors. You can stay here, but lock your doors. So I appreciated that. And I went back to sleep, but I was really far gone. And woke up about 6 or 7 a.m. and I knew that I was still in the presence of God. And whether I was asleep or awake, whether I was dreaming or having visions, it was a 20-hour experience, and all of it was about Eden. And the reason is, as God taught me that night and that day where I was with him, if we do not understand Eden, we do not understand our salvation. And so he spent hours taking me through. It was as though I got to see his will for man. Because, what we have seen after the fall is such a distortion, such a destruction. When Adam fell, when Adam and Eve fell, it really messed up so much that we have not gotten to see in the natural anything like what God intended for his man. Luke 3, if you look at the genealogies, it talks about, it goes all the way back to Adam, and then it calls Adam, it says the son of Adam, the son of God. Adam was the son of God. The Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. So think about this for a minute. If the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam, What does that tell us about Adam? We could almost call Adam. We can't quite. We could almost say he was like Jesus. He was made in the very image of God. God said, let us make man in our image. So think about the intention of God for you and me. God's will for us was to be completely whole. And what I saw during those hours when I was with the Lord and he was showing me Eden, what he showed me was such perfection in the garden, in the earth, in the atmosphere, in the plants, but most of all, what I saw was in us, in Adam, before the fall. Okay, the fall really botched things up. But prior to the fall, you have to understand, Adam was the perfect image of his father. Okay, just like Jesus was, the Bible says, Jesus says, he was the express image of God. It says all the Godhead bodily dwelt in him, in his mortal body, Jesus' mortal body, all the Godhead dwelled in him. He was absolutely perfect man. Well, before Adam sinned, right, before sin was found in him, he was made in the image of the Father. So you have to understand this in order to understand who you are in the Spirit. If you don't get this, you will forever question who you are. Jesus came to restore us, you and me, to garden state. And the reason that I think this isn't taught a lot, and I think a lot of people are hesitant to speak out on this or even believe it, is it seems too good to be true. It seems almost impossible, but the fact is, Jesus died to restore us completely to garden state. Now, what I saw was that Adam had the very mind of God. He didn't have a limited mind. You know that often science says we don't use all of our brain. In fact, we use a very small portion of it. But you know, Adam didn't. He used the whole thing. And he was brilliant. Adam was creative in nature. Why? Because he was made in the image of his father. Father is very creative. He's constantly creating. He speaks, and it is, but he's always seeing, perceiving, creating. If you have creative abilities, you got them from your father. That's your father. Adam actually had the love of God. You know, he was not before the fall. This is only before the fall, okay? Remember that after the fall, he took on the nature of Satan. Satan became his father. He actually opted out of God's family. He didn't know he was doing it, but he blew it. And he became part of Satan's family. He took on the nature, the sin nature of the devil. And what do we know about the devil? Everything the devil does is me first. Me, 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 me. Remember what the devil said, I will ascend the throne. You know, the devil wanted to take the throne. He wants to be God. All these years, he's never changed. All he wants is he wants to be the one that's worshipped. He wants to be the one that is seen as God. And of course, that's silly. He's nothing but a created being, and he can never do it. But Adam went from being like God to being like Satan. That's what happened. And because all we've ever seen with our natural eye is being like Satan, people being, you know, selfish, right? We don't like selfishness, do we? But we are selfish. We don't like it when other people are selfish. But the truth is our flesh nature is selfish. However, in the Spirit, when we were born again, God has given us something that is exactly, in fact, it says, put on the new self. What is that? The born-again spirit, which was created after the image of his holiness. So in your spirit man, remember Eden. In your spirit man, Jesus has restored to you only in the spirit. In your born-again spirit, you have what? The mind of Christ. Adam was brilliant beyond measure, because he was made in the image of his father. Did you know that in the spirit you have the mind of Christ? The mind that created the universe, the mind that perceived atoms, molecules, the mind that perceived how to make a bird fly years before we figured that out, right? And our way is very clunky compared to God's way. We're always trying to imitate God, but we never do it quite as well as him, right? But Adam also was selfless before the fall. And I know because he was made in the image of God. So his first thought was, what's in it for God? His first thought was to glorify God. His first thought is, seek first the kingdom. And his last or secondary thought was for himself. And so God spoke to me, remember Eden. And the reason we're talking about this is if you don't know what God's original will was for man, you might not understand what his will is for you and what his capability in you is. God's capability in you can be found in the spirit. Eden today is actually a picture of the realm of the spirit. It's a picture of the place God lives. It's like a parable, okay? But often when God wants to show me what's going on in the spirit, often I will see what looks like the Garden of Eden. Looks very much like it. Absolutely perfect, lovely. Remember back then it didn't rain. It says that a mist came up from the earth and watered the ground, right? So just give you one example. When God was trying to teach me the concept of walking in the spirit or moving by the spirit, the picture he gave me was a picture of, as I was looking into a beautiful garden that looked like Eden, okay, right, it's absolutely perfect. What does that represent? The realm of the spirit, God's world, which did not fall. The realm of the spirit, heaven, God's realm, did not ever fall. There was not a fall there. So everything is as it was. So your spirit man, when it is connected with heaven, okay, when it is connected in the spirit, what does the Bible say? Walk in the spirit. Those who are led by the spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. There's a connection there that's supposed to happen, and that's supposed to become our life. That's how Jesus did all the miracles. He said the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but he can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing. He was always attached, right? That's why he spent so much time in prayer and communion with the Father. He was attached to the realms of God, right? And what he was doing was he was like a, I might say a funnel. Do you ever see a good old-fashioned kitchen funnel, or out in your garage you have a funnel where you might pour oil into your car and it goes, it's big and it goes, you know, it funnels something into something else. Can you imagine for a minute that you are like a funnel? And if you can manage to attach to heaven, God pours his will, his desire, his creativity, the thing he wants to proclaim, healing power, a miracle for somebody, what someone needs. Someone's been crying out to God. We see it all the time. You might not understand the mechanics of it, but we get to see it all the time. What's happening? I'll give you an example. When God taught me, when I first learned how to preach, it was I was learning. And I would fast and pray and fast and pray, and I would get a message from the Lord, and I would write down all the scriptures, and I would try to, you know, do it that way. And it was, you know, people would say, oh, that was good, that was nice, you know. But then one day God said, we're not doing that. You're going to stand and deliver. You're going to stand, and you're going to deliver by the Spirit exactly what I give you, no more and no less. When I did that, it was hard at first. Not hard in the Spirit, but it was intimidating because I was a little bit scared of what if I miss it, what if I blow it, what if I hear wrong, what if I just don't hear, you know. And that has never happened even once in all these years. That has never let me down nor embarrassed me. But what began to happen was I would stand on the platform and I would simply say what he gave me to say, or maybe he'd give me a picture or flash a memory and I'd say, oh, he wants me to tell that story. Or I'd hear a word, I would say it. I might see a picture of something about someone's life. I would release it. Instantly, and I mean instantly, from that night, people began to come up to me. And instead of saying, oh, that was good, they would say things like this. I was just asking God that question last night, or we were just talking about that in the car on the way. Now, what happened? They placed a draw on the Father through their prayer, through their hunger. Prayer is important. If you don't, you know, he said, ask that you may receive. Don't ever just assume that God is going to give it to you because he likes you so much. It has to be spoken in the earth. It has to be spoken. Ask that you may receive. So what has happened? Some people have begun to ask. They've begun to pull on God. What happens? That places a draw on the Father. Father loves his children. So what does he do? He looks for somebody that will walk in the Spirit. Anybody will do. So it doesn't have to be an especially gifted person. Any believer. That will hook up to heaven. He'll say, deliver this word. Here's a vision. Go tell my servant. Go tell my friend. Think in the Bible when Paul, remember when Saul, before he became Paul, remember he was on the road and he was struck down and he was blinded by the light that was so bright, right? And he was taken into town and he couldn't see and he was blinded for some days. And a brother in the Lord, whose name was Ananias, remember him? He got an angel actually showed up to him, and the Lord said to him, go find Paul, or Saul, who was called Saul. He said, go to the street called Straight. And the guy started to argue with God. He said, I know about that guy. He's here to persecute us believers. He's done a lot of damage. I've heard about him. He tried to push back, and the Lord said, you know, basically, he said, I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he told him to go, and he went. Now, what happened there? Look at the mechanics behind it. God has chosen Saul to become the great apostle Paul. He doesn't even get what's happening to him, right? But God has something to deliver into the earth. Now, couldn't God just do it, you know, strike Paul with lightning and release his eyes? Maybe. But if you'll notice, generally speaking, he uses a person because that's his preferred way, right? Because he's given the earth to man. He always looks for somebody who's connected with the Spirit. If you're a prophetic intercessor, it's a fancy word for somebody who prays and listens and then obeys, right? You hear or you see something and you deliver the message. You will usually not understand it. That's okay. The person you're giving it to will. So when God gives you a picture, when God tells you something in prayer, and especially if he shows it to you more than once, or maybe you have a recurring dream and you're not sure, it's okay to call the person and say, you know, I'm not even sure what this means, but I saw this for you. Does this mean something to you? You know, many times I get a vision or a picture or a word, and I don't know what it means until I deliver it to the person, right? But the more you do it, the more you grow in confidence. Yes, that was God. That was the Spirit of God. So here's Ananias, and he has to go deal with this guy who's been killing people, who's dragging people, literally dragging people back to Jerusalem with, you know, with documents. He's got documents. He's got the goods on him. And he was pretty tough. You know, Paul had a lot of anger. If you look at the, I think it's the Amplified in the book of Acts, it says he was breathing threats through gritted teeth. You know, he really hated the disciples. And so here this guy has his encounter with the Lord Jesus, and he's struck blind. Now, God chooses to manifest himself to Ananias, send him on a mission by the Spirit, which took not only faith, but it took courage, right? He had to believe that God was really telling him this. You know what most people today do? They bat it away and say, well, I don't think that's God. What if I'm wrong? What will they think of me? What if I'm embarrassed? What if blah, blah, blah. But he said, you know what? I'm going to do this. And basically, even if I'm wrong about this, what God is saying about this guy, even if it costs me my life, is I'm going to obey God. And when you start to do that, you'll see the glory of God begin to manifest with people around you. You'll begin to see people healed. You say, well, I don't have the gift of healing. You don't need it. All you need is one word from God. Most of the healings I've ever seen, I didn't get because I was walking in faith. I got because I listened to what God said and just did what he said to do. Just simple. A five-year-old can do it. I said a five-year-old can do it. Any five-year-old, if they'll listen and just deliver the word exactly the way God said, and it may not make sense at all. You know, I've had times when I would give a word to somebody and it made no sense at all. And I would check with God several times. Say, you know, I want to make sure this is you. If I'm not sure, I'll ask him again. But if he keeps giving me that word, I know it's him. And I'll go to the person, and even if it makes no sense at all, I'll say it to the person. And I've had times where I've done that, and the person would literally burst into tears, just burst into tears. Because what has happened? Think of the funnel. There's been an attachment to heaven in the spirit. It doesn't happen in your flesh. Your flesh means meaning your intellect, your outward ears. This is a fleshy ear. God doesn't speak to me through this ear. He never, not one time in the whole of my life, has ever spoken to me through this ear. I've never heard him through my external ears. I've never seen him through my external eyes. But there, your spirit, the Bible talks about the eyes of your spirit. Your spirit man has eyes. Your spirit man has ears. Your spirit man has the same senses, but they have to be developed. God wants us in this day to spend a lot of time with him, because how you develop them is by praying in the Spirit, spending time with your Father, hanging out with him. And do you just suddenly, is there just suddenly this switch that gets flipped and you just suddenly know for sure that's what God is. No. You hear something and you're like, well, is it really? Is that God? And then you may argue with it. And I'll tell you what, if you stop it and you keep stopping it, I'll try you 3 or 4 times usually. And if you keep stopping, say, well, I don't think that's God. I'm not going to embarrass myself. That'll be the end of it. I said, that'll be the end of the matter. You won't hear from him. And it's not that he doesn't want to, but he knows you're not open. You close a door. You could actually close a door in your spirit man because they say, well, I don't trust that. I'm never going to trust that. So he, you know, it's not that he doesn't want to talk to you. It's that you've shut a door. Okay. If you've done that, God's not mad at you, but you need to reopen that and say, you know what? I'm sorry. If you give me something, I may pray. I may take a couple days. Listen, God's told me some things that were big issues. If it's a life-changing issue, I might take a few days. I'm not just, you know, because the devil can try to trick you. It's true. And your own mind might step in. It usually doesn't, but it could happen. So if it's a big event, it's okay. Take it, you know. I remember one big thing he told me to do, and I knew it was pretty significant. So I said nothing to anyone. I said, Lord, I'm going to pray on this. And if this is you, I promise you, I'll do it. But I'm going to take some time. I want to make sure that the devil isn't tricking me. You see, it's okay to do that. God's not mad at you. But what happens every single time that you choose to say, okay, I believe this is you. I don't necessarily understand it, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to reach out to that person, and I'm just going to offer it to them. And if they say it's not you, okay, hallelujah, I learned something. But what if it is? What if it is? And what I began to see was that every time two things happen. One is that God delivers a package from heaven to earth into that person. It might be physical healing. It might be emotional healing. It might be a word they desperately needed to know, right? It might be a course correction for their future, something that protects them. You know, it may be something about their kid that they've been praying day and night, day and night, day and night. And see, a lot of times people are hearing from God, but they need a confirmation. And most of the time when you come with a word, you're really only giving them a confirmation of something they kind of already knew, but they just needed a little confirmation from God. Okay? So if you've closed that door in the spirit, it's okay. Just go to God tonight and say, listen, I'm really sorry. You know, I was scared. I was afraid of making a fool of myself. But if you'll talk to me, I'll do my best to learn your voice. It is okay. You know, when I asked him, I said, listen, I need you to train me. And it took a couple of years. It took a couple of years of him training me and working with me. And every time I would step out, it required some faith. Because you're never, listen to me, I've been doing this 40 years. You're never, well, very, very rarely, 100% sure. You know, there's always a little, ooh, what if, you know. There's many times when I've said stuff and I'm like, really? But I've been doing it so long now, I know how the flow feels. I have a sense of how that flow feels. You know, when you do it long enough, you kind of know. You know, it's just like if you swim along, you know, if you swim a lot, or if you kayak a lot, or you canoe a lot, you get the feel of the water. You get to know how water flows, and you kind of can sense the feel of it. You just get to where you know it, you know. And it's not something that can be learned by head knowledge because it's not something that happens in your intellect. Okay, so the whole idea of Eden is that all these things already belonged to us. When Adam sold them out, he lost, and the biggest thing he lost, by the way, was an open, face-to-face, heart-to-heart, visible connection, tangibly. God walked with him in the cool of the day. He walked with him every day in the cool of the day. They hung out. You know, they hung out together. And that is the biggest, I think, the single biggest loss that we've had. We had so much loss in the fall. And the problem with us now is we don't realize how much we lost, and we've been living under the pressure of this fallen world, right, that is basically most of the earth is living under the earth curse, right? It's living under curse. And so God's trying to get us to see higher, to remember Eden, because listen, when Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, he came to bring us back into an open connection with heaven, completely open. And so God is desiring to bring you, you know, it says that he has raised us up, yes, past tense, raised us up with him and seated us in heavenly places. You know, I just dare you. I just dare you to take some scriptures that are almost unbelievable and begin to believe them because they say they're past tense. Begin to believe that it has already happened. Because when you get that, you'll begin to see life in a completely different way. You'll begin to walk as though you're in Eden, even though the whole world lies in darkness. They're all wigging out and freaking out and fighting with each other. There's all these factions and, you know, one way and another way. But listen, did you know that you can be internally because of your spirit man? And in fact, you were intended to be raised up with him. You have been raised with him. You are seated with him in heavenly places. Isn't that amazing? You know, God said something to me the other day. It was so interesting. We were talking about the last days, and I ask him a lot of questions. You know, I want to understand because I like to know, what do I do, you know, in all this hoo-ha? What do I do today? How do I proceed? How do I look at life? How do I look at finances? Hello. How do I look at, you know, people are buying toilet paper and food and the meat stuff and, you know, the economy, blah, you know. And I always ask God a lot of questions, and God said the most fascinating thing to me. He said, you know, I said something like, I wish I could remember exactly the words, but it was something like, you know, I realize the time we're in. You know, I don't know if you've been watching anything lately, but we're living in a time where the technology is out there to do everything that Revelation talks about. I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to go there right now. I don't feel like I'm supposed to go there right now. But I'm telling you, we're living in a day, right, where all the stuff is in place for the very last thing. And I said to the Lord, I said, I'm aware of what's going on. And he said this thing to me. He said, you know, I am perfectly aware of what is going on. But he said, you know, I'm never moved by it and I'm never afraid. And I said, well, of course not. And he said, why do you think that is? I said, well, because you're untouchable, you're in heaven, and you have all authority. And he said, okay, do you think biblically the same is true of you? Do you get it?
That's good.
And I began to ponder the reality that according to God, we are supposed to be living in a completely different realm. Now, if you learn to hang out in the spirit a lot, you will never look at life the same. People come, these people send me stuff. You can't believe all this stuff they send me in prophecies and hoo-ha, blah, blah, blah. And to be honest, when you live in the realm of the spirit, most of it you just hear blah, 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 blah. Because a lot of it, a lot of the prophecy, and I'm not putting anybody down, okay, but a lot of what's being prophesied right now is in the earth realm for people who live in the earth realm who don't know how to live in heaven. And so they're dealing with all this stuff that, honest to goodness, should have been dealt with years ago. Not putting anybody down, I'm just saying. If you learn how to live where you're called to live, okay, which means your spirit man is connected with the Father all the time. You have a constant, a continual awareness. I could get up at 3 a.m. and I'm aware of the Father. I'm aware. There's an open connection of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. You have to get that thing open. You have to train your spirit man to be open to the Father. You have to work at being an open vessel to the Father all the time. And it's just a living relationship. And you develop, just like any relationship, you develop it, you develop it, you develop it. But if you develop it, you can get to a place where you're aware of God all the time. You're aware of him when you're in the store. You're aware of him when you're in the car. You're aware of him when you're gardening. When you're doing something really, I could be doing the most menial, trivial thing. We're having a conversation about it. And I'm asking him, how should I do that? I've got a few plants I planted. I planted some celery. It's not looking too good. And, you know, in my view, who knows more about celery than God? Who knows more about gardening? Who knows more about cabbage? And so I'm saying, what do you think I should do here, Lord? Do you think I should, you know, does it need more phosphorus? Does it need, you know, should I do more with the soil? Did I give it too much water? See, nothing is too small or too great. What God wants is what he had with Adam, with you. What God wants with you is what he had with Adam. You know, I think it was one of the saddest days God has ever had when he came to the garden. Remember, he said, Adam, where are you? He knew good and well where he was. Adam, where are you? His son, his friend, his close companion. God created us for fellowship. And we have got to get out. I'm thankful we've had this couple of months to think, you know, to slow down. If you haven't had some time to think, you know, how about you all? I've had a lot of time to think, a lot of time to come to center, you know. And, you know, one of the things God has always said to me is that we tend to look so much at our performance and our accomplishment. I'm an accomplishment person. I like to feel like I got something done. You know, I like to accomplish a lot. I have a list of stuff I like to accomplish. But not when it comes to God. When it comes to God, what he wants is me. What he wants is you. What he wanted was Adam, not perfect rows in his garden of perfect little plants for Adam to do. He wasn't there to check on the garden and how well Adam was doing. He was there to hang out with his son, his friend, his companion. They walked together in the garden in the cool of the day every day. And that is what God desires you. Remember Eden. Remember it. Because it's here now. The Spirit of God is here now. The kingdom of heaven is among you. You know, I was reading a scripture the other day where it says the Pharisees were actually, I was shocked by this. You know, I don't think much of the Pharisees. But it actually says that they were asking Jesus about when the kingdom would come. And I don't know if they were trying to trick him again or if they really were curious and thought he knew. But he said, the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. And I bet none of them got it. In other words, he was saying, I'm sitting right here. I'm right here. I'm sitting right in your midst. Right? What did he say to Philip? Have I been with you? Been with me so long, Philip, and you haven't known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. You know, listen, you have in you the Holy Spirit of God. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's the spirit version of Jesus. He's Jesus. Jesus breathed and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He is the manifestation of God in the earth. And he can manifest himself. Listen, the Holy Spirit can manifest himself as a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire, mist, with sweetness, a river, right? He manifests himself, but what he desires has never changed. The Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit is the way that God walks with you in the garden in the cool of the day. The Father himself, I could be wrong about this, but my very limited understanding of the Father is that his power and his majesty are so great. When we see it, I actually believe if we saw that in our flesh form, we might combust. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is God's way of being able to be with us because the Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. Jesus said that the works that he did, he said, the Father in me is doing those works. Who was the Father in him? It was the Holy Spirit. Who is the Father in him? Who is the Father in you? The Holy Spirit. Right? Right. Say right. Everybody say right. Right. The Father in me does the works. Now we know it had to be the Holy Ghost because Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven. So he clearly said the Father was in heaven. And yet he was saying the Father in him did the work. How's Father in him? By the fact that he'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan. And from that time is when he started to do the miracles. There are no miracles in Jesus' life, no recorded miracles whatsoever until he got filled with the Spirit. So what happened? Heaven, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, filled Jesus. There came in the Spirit man a divine connection between the Spirit man, Jesus, and heaven itself. Okay? Now in you, if you're baptized, if you're born again, and only if you're born again, and if you've been baptized in the Spirit, you have received an open heaven. Listen, don't be among those that say, oh, God, rend the heavens. He did. He already did. It happened in the book of Acts. when they were in the upper room, there came a noise, a violent rushing wind, noise so loud that people came from all over to see what was the ruckus. And it was God rending heaven, tearing heaven open, and heaven coming down in the form of the Spirit to infill each of them. Listen, prior to that, they'd been with Jesus, the man, in his flesh. But he said, it is better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go to you, the comforter can't come. Can you imagine how they must have felt? Wait a minute, we left everything to follow you, and now you're leaving, and you're telling us that's better? We left our homes, we left everything? What, are you kidding? Now think about this. What Jesus was saying, yeah, what did he say to them? In the book of John, he said, he is with you, but he will be in you. Talking about the comforter. See, if I don't go, the comforter can't come. What was he saying? Right now, I'm with you in human form, in my bodily, mortal flesh. But once I go and I release the Spirit of God, remember he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Don't go, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. I'm giving you the fast version, right? So what was happening? Instead of being with them, now he's in them by his Spirit. Listen. The Bible talks in many places about how the prophets and the kings longed to look into what we would have, what you and me would have. The prophets and the kings of old desired to even understand the magnitude of the presence that would live in us, that we would be given access in the Spirit to the fullness of God. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. We have lived at too low a level, and I'll tell you why. We're not looking at Eden. We're not looking at heaven. We're not looking at the Spirit. Most people I know are walking around looking in the earth realm and begging God to help them and looking at all of life as though this is it. This ain't it, honey. This ain't it. Pardon my expression, but this is not it. This earth, you know, Keith Green used to say, this place is a garbage can, you know, compared to heaven. It's a garbage can. It's fallen. It's temporal. If you're looking around at earth as though this would make you happier, that, oh, if just this was just go right, then I'd be happy. Listen, forget all that. I can tell you how to be happy all the time. I can tell you about a place where there's just so much joy. It is joy unspeakable. You can't even tell people about it. It's here 24/7, and it's a free gift. I'm telling you, do you say, what is life easier than? Well, not necessarily. Life on earth still happens. But you don't have to let that own you anymore. Does bad stuff happen? Sure. It happens all the time. But I don't have to be owned by it. It can never own me again. I'm not coming back if my body's here. I have to pay the bills like everybody else. I have to write out the checks. I have to, you know, fill out the tax forms, whatever has to be done. I still have to do that. But that's exactly how Jesus was. Remember, they had to pay taxes. He did it in a bit of an unorthodox way. But he still had to live on this earth, right? He still had to get a hold of food. You know, he had to deal with finance. He had to deal with feeding 12 guys, right? He had to live in this earth, and he made it clear that how he did it was not in an earthly way. He said, the Son of Man, I'm going to repeat it, can do nothing of himself. In other words, he was saying, I've limited myself. My flesh is just as limited as yours. That's like what he was saying. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. In other words, my flesh is completely limited, just like yours. However, he said, I do what I see my Father in heaven doing. There's a divine connection, an open heaven. Can I just say to you, this might be new to you, or you might be saying, how do I do that? I'm just going to tell you, ask the Father for some help. Ask the Holy Spirit to mentor you and to teach you. He'll train you. Be like a little kid. Keep coming, just like a little kid. Train, show me how to do it. Show me how to connect with heaven. Show me how to commune with God in the cool of days. Show me how, Holy Spirit. And build a relationship with Him. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the best friend you've got. He loves you. He always has the answer. He knows everything. It doesn't matter what's going on. He'll help you. He never gets mad. He's so, well, I shouldn't say never, but He's so patient, you know. If I mess up, he doesn't get impatient with me. He just meets me right where I'm at every day, you know. If I bungle it, I'd say, oh, I bungled it again. Holy Ghost, would you help me understand this? I don't seem to be getting this right. Would you help me? Of course. You know, we never never rebukes. You know, he doesn't chastise unless I need it. You know, if I'm not listening well, then I might get a spanking. But it's as from one that I love, one who loves me. You understand? God has for you, an open heaven all the time. You know, this thing I don't want this to sound like I'm being critical, because I'm not. But I used to go to conferences thinking, you know, and all these famous people would come, and I think now there will be the presence, and it'd be like, I had a better presence in my living room. And nothing against anybody, but what I found was the presence, the Spirit of God, the Garden of Eden, the place of God's throne, the Holy of Holies. Listen, the kingdom of heaven is in you. There is a divine connection on the inside of you. From your spirit man, by the Holy Spirit, straight to the throne of God, because you're his child, right? You have to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, right? But if a man is born again, he can. But he can't see it through these external eyes or these external ears. He sees it with the eye of spirit. He sees it with the eye of faith. Okay, so just like in the book of Acts, just like in the upper room, there is for you an open heaven, a Garden of Eden, a place where God will commune with you every day, walking together in the cool of the day. And I was talking to a friend this week, and they were saying that God was giving them this wonderful message about how having childlike fellowship with him, childlike intimacy with him, without an accomplishment or an end or achieving a purpose. And I thought, that's a really good way to say it. So friend, if you're watching, thank you for that. Because I'm always trying to help explain this to people, and I've never found words that are sufficient. But I thought that was a great way to say it. It's having intimacy with him without having to accomplish great things, you know, or have some great purpose. Now, the great thing is that when you do that enough, stuff just starts to happen. You start to see works, but you didn't do them. He did them through you. You start to see accomplishment. You start to see, there's a business idea. And it's so easy because it didn't come from you. It just came from him. That's the Christian life. The real Christian life is not doing stuff for God, trying to get it right and feeling like you didn't. That's never going to work, ever. So forget it. The real Christian life is fellowshipping with God and him doing the stuff through you, or giving the idea how to do it, or saying, call so-and-so. And you think, why would I call so-and-so? But you just do it. And turns out so-and-so just has your answer. See, I'm telling you, this is so much easier. Some of you heard me say it, but a lady that I heard that got me turned on to the things of the Spirit, she said, I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit. And I remember saying to God, I don't even know what that is, but I want to spend the rest of my life learning, would you teach me the walk of the Spirit? And after all these years, I can say I don't know much, but I do know one thing. There's a high road to success. It is the answer. In that walk is every answer, every fix, every solution. If you're trying to fix something and it's broken, you go to God. He'll help you, right? Do you know why some people don't want to go to God? Because it takes humility. It takes us saying, I don't know. We have to stop trying to be the smart one. You're not the smart one. See, I was blessed in that I got that revelation real early. I knew I didn't have the answer, and I knew I needed help. Help! I needed God to help me. I need his answer. It doesn't matter if I'm working on a big project, a complicated one, or a little tiny one, and I can't get the thing to work right. You know, as I'm with my Father saying, okay, what can I do? What should I do? You know, sometimes he'll say, just walk away. I remember having a big, big project one day, and it was just so big, I can't even face it. I don't want to deal with it. He said, don't do anything. Just go look it. Just stand there and look at it. Don't do anything. Just stand there and look at it. You know how smart that was? As I stood there and looked, I went, oh, okay, well, I guess I could just do this first couple of things, and pretty soon I had that project. It was nothing. You know, whatever you need, God knows. He's so smart. And so I want you to understand that this is the life we were called to. Not all this do's and don'ts and, you know, we worry way too much. You know, he said, why take thought for tomorrow? Why do you worry so much about what you eat and what you drink and what shall we put on? The Lord knows you need all that stuff. You know, God's going to take care of you. No matter what's going on with the earth, God will take care of you if you stay close to him. Stay close to him and you'll be fine. You'll be okay. Whatever you do, don't go far from him. You know, because then you might have trouble, okay? God loves you. I love him. God wants you to shine during this time. He wants you to shine like a light from heaven during this time. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.